please keep that reading open in front of you. And let me pray. And gracious Father, please help us tonight. Incline our ears toward you so that we might hear what you have to say to us through your word. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I wonder where you can, if you can locate this phrase. The time has come, the kingdom of God is near, repent and believe the good news. Where's it from? Oh, joy, just lightning fast. Mark 1:15, and we looked at that in our first week, and it really, I suppose, summarises all that we've been thinking about and hearing in Mark's gospel. Jesus is, of course, proclaiming the good news of God's kingdom, and we are seeing again and again people's responses to Jesus. And you would expect, given the content of the message and the extraordinary authority that Jesus expresses to demonstrate the authenticity of the message, you would expect people to be falling over themselves to embrace the kingdom and to embrace Jesus. I mean, after all, he is announcing that God is about to embark finally upon his plan to set the world to rights, to overthrow evil, to implement justice and peace, bring about reconciliation and the redemption of all things. Surely people would receive that kind of news gladly. Jesus is out there healing the sick. He's confronting the evil one and his minions and casting them out. In the wake of that kind of authority, you would expect, wouldn't you, that people would embrace Jesus as Lord and as Master. That's what you might expect, but it's not what we've seen so far in Mark's Gospel. In fact, it's rather puzzling what we have seen. It's puzzling the kind of very mixed response that we've seen to Jesus so far. I mean, there have been those who have received him with enthusiasm and great joy. People have committed themselves to him and are following him, his disciples, but they're not many, are they? There are those, like the crowds, who are very curious, and they're coming from far and wide to check out Jesus for themselves, to see what he's saying and what he's doing. We saw last week as well, when Peter preached to us from chapter 3, that his own family couldn't embrace him. They were confused. They were ready to cart him off to the mental asylum back up in home. And then, of course, we know about the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. They are strengthening in their opposition toward Jesus. And we learnt back a couple of chapters ago that they had hatched a plot with the political authorities to kill Jesus. So you have this variety of responses. And the question is, why? Why, given the message of the kingdom, why, given the authority of the king himself, are people responding in such different, mixed ways? Well, that's the question that Mark chapter 4 answers. And it answers it through a series of parables that Jesus told. We're told at the beginning of the passage and the end of the passage, almost like bookends, that Jesus spoke in parables. It's how he taught. Well, he's going to explain this puzzle through a series of parables. And you'll notice the first parable is a parable out of a farmer. He's got some seed and he sows it in various kinds of soil. It's a very familiar parable to us. And I suppose the risk when something is familiar is that we treat it with contempt. You know the old phrase, familiarity breeds contempt. Well, let's hope that we don't come to it with contempt, thinking, oh, we know what's in here. Let's try and perhaps see some surprises that we may not have seen before. So you see in verse 3, the parable begins, and we have four soils. I've got it up there on the screen for you, just to summarise it. Four soils and four different outcomes. And it's only the fourth soil, the good soil, that does anything. In fact, it yields a very impressive crop, 30, 60, 100 fold, which by any measure is, well, that's pretty good. It may not be spectacular, but it's a good year. It's a bumper year. And in many ways, it's a simple story. There's nothing difficult about the story to understand. It draws on familiar ideas and images to people in Jesus' day, even their images and ideas familiar to us. No apparent difficulties until you start asking what it means. So let's start asking, what does it mean? You see, it's not immediately obvious. If we were just to be in the shoes of the disciples and Jesus told that parable,
it wouldn't be immediately clear. I think that's why Jesus calls people to listen carefully.
Did you notice the constant reference to listen throughout the entire passage?
Look at verse 3 and 9. Just at the beginning and the end of this parable, let alone the others, Jesus calls for good listening.
If you've got ears to hear, listen. He's asking for a hearing.
He's saying, pay careful attention. Throughout the parable, we have 13 different references to the verb to listen.
And when we see that kind of repetition going on, it's flagging something important. It's signalling the importance of careful listening. Not just hearing, but listening, which is different. Taking in what you hear.
It's all about paying close attention to the things of the kingdom of God. Moreover, it's the key to understanding why people are responding the way they do to Jesus. Some people are listening. They're hearing and they're listening. If you were to use a radio analogy, it's as if the kingdom of God is on somewhere on a wavelength, on a dial, and you've got to tune in to get the frequency.
Some people are tuning in. And they are embracing the good news. Most people, though, aren't listening. They're not tuned in. They can hear a sort of noise, maybe static, but they're not tuned in.
And, of course, it explains the variety of other reactions. And it's clear, when you look at verse 10, that even
Jesus' disciples are having trouble hearing.
And so what do? They ask him about the parables. I want you to notice it's the parables in the plural. See that?
They're not just asking about this parable, they're actually asking about the parables as a whole.
And I take it their question is, Jesus, why do you speak in parables?
It's so frustrating. They're not straightforward. Can't you just speak plainly for once? Make it easy for us.
Well, the truth is, they're not clear. Their meaning isn't straightforward. They want Jesus to speak just a little more plainly. And listen to Jesus' answer.
If they want a plain speaking, this is what Jesus gives them. Verse 11. The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you.
But to those on the outside, everything is said in parables. So that, and he quotes, you'll see from your Bible, from Isaiah chapter 6. So that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving. And ever hearing but never understanding. Otherwise they might turn and be forgiven.
Talk about more puzzles. Well, I think that answer not only reveals something important about the nature of parables,
it reveals something important about the kingdom of God.
And of course, the two are linked. The standout, of course, is that Jesus is saying the kingdom of God is a secret. We'll come to that. What about parables? We often think of parables, don't we, as illustrations, sermon illustrations. So in order to convey a point clearly in a sermon, we provide you with an illustration. I'll be using a couple of illustrations tonight. The idea of an illustration is to shed light where there might be sort of fuzziness. It's in order to bring enlightenment, to make people understand.
And we often think that that's what the parables are for. They're kind of sermon illustrations. But on this reading, you would have to say that's not quite right.
The truth is, the parables are actually more likely to confuse and confound than actually enlighten, to shed light.
Jesus' parables are a lot more like this.
Those wonderful, witty, clever political cartoons you see in the newspaper, and I just chose this one because it seems to be an issue very much in the news today. Poor old Peter Garrett. He's been the target of Alan Moyer and the Herald for the last week or so. There have been a few cartoons about this issue. But I think this is actually a very good illustration of what a parable is, okay, if you're on my wavelength. You see, when you see a cartoon like that, the reader actually needs to work out what's going on. It's not sort of given to you on a plate. The meaning is there, the significance is there, but it's beneath the surface. And in order to get the meaning, you've got to sort of collect together certain ideas that are presented to us in the cartoon. If you're not prepared to do that, if you're not prepared to actually spend a bit of time and look at the characters and what they say and what's going on, well then you'll walk away just thinking, oh, it's a weird cartoon. Somebody might be looking at it now going, no, I don't understand. It makes no sense to me.
That's an interesting point in itself, because in order to interpret a cartoon like that, you've got to be in the know.
You've got to know what the various symbols and things are referring to. So, let me illustrate. If you've been living under a rock this past few weeks, and you didn't know about this insulation scandal as a result of the federal government stimulus package, and you know, there'd been some house fires and various other things, this cartoon wouldn't make much sense to you. You'd be kind of an outsider, and you'd go, huh? Whereas if you've been following the issue, you've got a clue. You think, okay, well, what else is going on there? And then you look at the characters, okay? It's clearly Peter Garrett and Kevin Rudd, right? Now, again, if you were not an Australian or if you knew nothing about Australian politics or Australia's leadership, you'd have no idea who that was. So, again, it wouldn't make much sense to you. The clues are there, but you've got to know how to interpret the clues. You've got to know what they're actually pointing to. And then, of course, if you're not a Midnight Oil fan, well, you might miss something else, because Kevin there is kind of, well, he's singing one of Peter Garrett's well-known songs, Beds Are Burning, and it's sort of, you know, why do we sleep while the beds are burning kind of thing. Do you know the song? Yeah, I didn't do a very good version of it. But, of course, you also know that Peter Garrett, you know, danced and sung like this, so Kevin Rudd's sort of singing Peter Garrett's song. And once you sort of see the clues and you put them together, it takes you beneath the surface to interpret what the cartoonist is saying. And poor Peter Garrett, because Moya's sort of getting it stuck in. Jim, were you ever the subject of a cartoon, Jim? Maybe you can tell us about that later. So people in the know, people across the issues who can interpret the various signals and signs will get it. But those who haven't been observing the news or don't know who the characters are, well, they won't get it. And the effect, I suppose, is to create insiders and outsiders. Those in the know and those who aren't in the know. And, you know, Jesus' parables are very similar. Very similar to that cartoon. The message of the kingdom, we're told, comes to us encoded in parables. Far from shedding light, there's a code. Like the political cartoon, I think they are cleverly disguised commentary for those in the know. And according to Jesus, it's deliberate. And he tells us why in verse 11, do you see? He says, because the kingdom of God is in some sense a secret. The kingdom of God is in some sense a secret. That's effectively what Jesus is saying. It's not immediately perceptible to human understanding. It is, as I said before, it's as if it's on a completely different wavelength, and you need to know where to tune in order to get reception, to hear the music. If you like music, if it's talkback, well, it's talkback, okay? Whatever is your thing. Otherwise, you're just going to hear static. And I think the parables really alert us to this fact. They are puzzling, and it's because they're puzzling that they ask for a hearing. That's why Jesus keeps saying, listen, listen carefully. Are you hearing properly? They are puzzling and they ask for a hearing. They really invite consideration. They invite us to reflect upon their meaning and significance. You look at a cartoon like that, and if you're in a rush and you can't be bothered, because you've actually got to spend some time considering it. That's an invitation to consider what's going on. The parables are the same.